We left off on Thursday talking about the pros and cons of lavud created the funnest of a sukkah. So our starting point in the sukkah would be that of course lavud works. Why shouldn't lavud work? You know, there's lavud, it works in Hilchos Shabbos, and it works in Vischach, and it works in so many areas. So why shouldn't it be acceptable to make the chitzas for a sukkah out of lavud? And truth to be told, that's what the Braisa seems to bear out as well. You know, the Braisa of Zayin and Aleph speaks explicitly about lavud. The Braisa says, "Mamish black and white, that lavud is acceptable." Vashli hebin konal konal yos begim utvachim. What could possibly go wrong? So there's a Taisus tucked away a little bit further on, where Taisus throws a curveball at us, and Taisus sounds like lavud the problem, because the Gemara, upon constructing a very very minimal form of a sukkah, so the Gemara talked about the possibility of building a sukkah with a pasdalet, less than 3 tvachim away from the wall, and that's a way to shave away some of the extra wood if you don't need. So Taisus, yes, what do you have to, that's the best thing to do. That's the best Eitz HaChazak to come up with. Why didn't they come up with something which was, in effect, tantamount for lavud? Namely, they should build a, that's a half a tefach piece of wood, 2.9 away, and then and another 2.9 away, then another half a tefach with 0.6. All the numbers actually even added up, believe it or not. I wasn't sure when I did the math lift, it was actually that I was going to hope that it added up, but we added up and made the 7th tefachim. So Taisa says, what was wrong with that? Says, no, that's no good. That's a disaster. That's a mechitza shesiv lo hira. That's no good. I am a sechzerv, and that's not going to fly. So the problem is it's not going to fly, but the Gemara says in the Zion that does fly. The Gemara says, that's great. It's a wonderful mechitza. Daifin sukkah, daifin Shabbos. So we Thursday we focused on the Magen Avraham. Avraham came with this idea, it depends how many walls you're building. If you're building 4 walls, then you can have all the lovers you want. If you're only building 3 walls, well, then you're in trouble, says the Magen Avraham. So we thought that was a little bit arbitrary. We kept 3 walls full. At the end of the day, 3 walls is good. So we gave a whole razzle-dazzle to the Torah to explain, well, even a level of their eyes, there are differences between 3 walls and 4 walls, and the Taisa Shana, or a whole Chagadja. And we said, maybe that's the shot in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham himself conceded that Taisus himself had that option of differentiating between 3 and 4, and Taisus rejected it. And then the Magen Avraham claims Taisus brought it back to life. So again, it's a hard Magen Avraham. It's hard to read, it's hard to understand. But the nice Magen Avraham says it. Not only does the Magen Avraham say it, but the Mishnah Berurah paskens like it. The Mishnah Berurah just quotes it verbatim out of the Magen Avraham. And that seems to be the final word, at least according to the understanding of the Mishnah Berurah. That Magen Avraham, most people probably never even heard of that Magen. Most people never heard of the Taisus. It's a half-line Mishnah Berurah tucked away in the middle of nowhere. The reason why that Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah came to life is because it's become very, very popular to build the funnels in Sukkah B'zman HaZeh based on lavud. Why is anyone meshugah building walls based on lavud? They're not really building Sukkahs based on lavud. What they're doing is as follows. We've talked about this many times. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Sukkah talks about You have a wall that can't withstand the wind, can't withstand the normal wind. Ruach Mitzuya. Today was very Ruach Shem Mitzuya. It was very windy this morning. Ruach Mitzuya, it has to be able to withstand. That's the Shia Mechitza. That's the Din in that Torah. The Gemara is clear in the second breath of Sukkah that that's not a Din unique to Hilchos Sukkah. That's relevant to Hilchos Shabbos also. The Gemara talks about it vis-a-vis regular mechitz, it talks about it, gabi pasi biros. All of them are mechitz and Hilchos Shabbos are all subject to the rule of, that's to be a mechitz shechol lama b'fnei haruach. That's the bare bone, that's the definition of a mechitz in halacha. So the poskim point out, based on this halacha, that a mechitz has to be omed as b'fnei haruach, it's not a very good idea to make mechitzas out of sheets, out of sedinim, shechol quotes. It's not a good practice to make mechitzas out of sheets that are flapping and flying in the wind, unless they're tied down really, 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 really well. If they're tied down really, really well, if they're not holik with their ruach, then they're going to be okay. But it's not such a great idea. What exactly does it mean that a mechitza has to be omed with their ruach? That was a big machlokes of the Chazanish, discovered a ritva that says that omed with their ruach doesn't mean that it has to be stationary. Omed with their ruach means that it can't topple down. Now, even though if it's mamish windy outside, it's going to mamish topple down, I don't need a ritva to tell me that. There's no mechitza, no mechitza. The chiddush is, even though it's a very, very sunny day and it's a beautiful day and it's not a breeze there's no wind at all, zero wind out today, it's still possible in a Torah if it wouldn't be able to stand up its own against the wind. Doesn't mean it's going to fall down. Doesn't mean that it has to remain stationary. It means it's not going to fall down. if it would fall down, so even though right now it's not falling down, if it's not windy, that's the psul of any chalav if neru. If it never falls down, it would just move a little bit in the wind, that's not a problem. So then the rishon has to qualify that statement. Let's say it moves in the wind, it doesn't fall down, but it moves in the wind in such a way that it's no longer serving as a kosher mechitza. What does that mean? It means it would get kicked up by the wind in such a way that it would be raised more than three tefachim above the ground. So that would be a problem, because the Mishnah says later on in the first parak of Sukkah, whenever you have that's called a mechitza tluya, when you have a mechitza that's more than three tefachim above the ground, that's a problem. You don't say gurachis on that. That's a problematic mechitza. So if you have a mechitza for a Sukkah or a mechitza for an Erev that's moving in the wind, flapping in the wind, going back and forth, but it's not going anywhere, it's not falling down, it's not being lifted above the ground, it's tied down in such a way that it's just moving in the wind, so if that's this thing, that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that, that's perfectly acceptable mechitza. And others disagree with the Chazmish. Others say, no, it's not true. That a mechitza she'edechol labo din kipshutai, it has to remain stationary. As mechitza moves and sways in the wind, even though it doesn't fall down, doesn't get lifted off the ground, it's also considered to be psula. So within the machmirim, you'd have to be very, very careful. All the sukkahs, all the canvas sukkahs are potentially a problem. If you like the chazanish, so tie it down basically, it's not falling down, it's not being lifted up, so that would be okay. But according to the non-chazanish people, to all the canvas sukkahs would be very, very questionable, whether they're kosher at all, even with the evidence. So because of that problem, so an eitzah was suggested already years ago, this was come to a very common practice, that what you could do is you could touch up the mechitza a little bit, by making another mechitza. Instead of a line on the canvas that's blown in the wind, you should put straps, you should put strings, you should put ropes or something, and position them in such a way that they meet the criteria of lovewood. So if you, let's say you have on the ground, so if you put a rope 2.9 tefachim away, I mean, it's hard to measure it exactly because there are different sheets of what lovewood is, you have to do the math properly. But just short of 3 tefachim, you put a rope, a string that goes across from one pole to another. Then 2.9 tefachim above that, you put another one, another pole. And you make your ropes in such a way that you have the top rope, or the top part of the, usually there's like the part of the frame anyway, the top something is above 10 tefachim off the ground. Sure, based on the principle of makifim mechavolim, so you put yourself across your sukkah. If you tie those ropes very tight, they're not going anywhere. They're not going to move. They're not going to even sway in the wind at all. So even according to those who didn't want to rely on the chazanish, you can be makshe that sukkah, because dal mehocha, the canvas, make believe the canvas doesn't exist, and the sukkah is kosher anyway based on the ropes. So the problem is, wait a second, if you accept the chazanish, then forget the ropes. But if you want to reject, you want not so satisfied to rely on this cool the chazanish, and you want to rely on the kashrus of the sukkah, relying totally, solely on the ropes, so then you have to be careful. Then you have to meet the criteria of what constitutes kosher ropes. So how many walls do you have to have? So according to this new fangled Magen Avraham with this Mishnah Berurah, it's not enough to have three walls. Most people would think, okay, great, I'm a big machmir, I don't want to rely on the Bnei Brak people, I don't want to rely on the Chazanish, I'll be very, very, very religious. So I'm going to make ropes. How many ropes do I need? I need three walls. We all learned the first Mishnah Sukkah. So Gimel Defanos is good enough. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, no, Gimel Defanos would not be good enough. You would have to put ropes on the fourth wall as well. Because if you don't put ropes on the fourth wall, then you're up the creek. Then you only have a three-wall sukkah. And a three-wall sukkah, again, minus Chazanish, a three-wall sukkah, you can't rely on lovewood because of Mechita Shemesh Hashasi Vishleir. So because of this, some people now who are aware of this Magen Avraham want to be extra machmir. They want to make lovewood on all four walls. There's a problem making love in all four walls. If you make love in all four walls, you can't get into the sukkah. You have to play the Chinese jumper. You have to jump over the strings in order to get into the sukkah. It's not going to be so practical. So what you could do is as follows. On the fourth wall, you need not make those strings go across the entire wall. You could just make them go seven tefachim. So even according to the machmir, the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, with the love, with the decisis, so as long as you have a masher wall, you have a fourth wall that's at least seven tefachim, so that would be good enough. That's how people like to do it. Then they leave three quarters of the wall open, so people the maaser could open up the sheets and be able to walk through into the sukkah itself. Or if one doesn't want to do that, so what you could do is instead of making strings across, sometimes logistically, again in the shul sukkah that we have, so it's logistically difficult to get those strings across the fourth side. So what we did is we invested in a board at the Home Depot, and we got a board that was 7 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall, and we stick it against the fourth wall. So it was propped up with something against the fourth wall, and that becomes the fourth wall of the Zuchus. So we have three walls with strings and fourth wall with a board. And even according to the non-Chazanish Paiskim, so that Zuchus would still be okay following this, so to speak, Chubra Magan Ramesh Shabur. Those who don't do this, there are many people who just make the strings, but they don't bother making the strings in the fourth wall. So it could be that that's okay anyway. Why is that okay? But maybe one could argue that when there's a Shav Deraisa, the Sukkah Kesher love of Deraisa, so we get very nervous. We don't want to rely on Chazanish, because a lot of poskim could be, most poskim may have disagreed with the Chazanish in this one. So vis a vis the Kashas of the Sukkah love of Deraisa, we don't want to take any chances. But if we've already been Yaitse the Sukkah is already Kashim in Torah. Why is the Sukkah Kashim in Torah? Because they have love on three walls. This Chum of the Magen Avraham, the Mishtabur, and the Taisus is only a Chum of Midirabban. In a Torah, it's not true. Our Shtickle Torahs were nice on Thursday, but they're only Midirabbanan. Minat Torah, you follow love, and the Torah you follow love, and on three walls and finished. That Chumra Midirabbanan, the Mechita Shenish Hashas, this Absad Din Midirabbanan, tucked away the Taisus, the Meir of the home, Chagadja, that's only a Chumra Midirabbanan. So one could argue, vis a vis Shadows of Deraisa, we want to make sure that our Sukkah is okay, so we build the string, the love of string. Vis-a-vis Dinim Dirabbanon, Chumas Dirabbanon, that you don't rely on love in all four walls. For that, we rely on Chazanish. So the Sukkah is kosher on the love of Deraisa, and the Sukkah is for sure kosher with three walls of lovehood. And the fact that maybe it's no good with Dirabbanon, because with Dirabbanon, we're comfortable relying on the Chazanish. So that's the Limud Chus, and the people who, they insist on making strings, but they don't bother making the fourth wall. Either because they never heard of the Magen Avraham, or even if they heard of the Magen Avraham, they're not so worried about the Magen Avraham, since it's only Nogeya, it's only a Derabbanan. Anyway, for the Derabbanan, they're comfortable with relying on the Chazanish. Anyway, so that's, again, so that's where that Shittas Magen Avraham, Mishtabura, has become very, very popular with Bizman Hazeh. But truth to be told, there are other ways of reading the Tosfos. We left off from the Tosfos on Daf Tezayin. The Tosfos just threw at us that you don't toss us through a curve wall. It said you don't say lovud on sukkahs in the mechitzah of a sukkah. So the Magen Avraham read a lot into that toss. Three walls was four walls. Are there any other ways of reading the toss? So the Kriyakov was written by the Yerach Lener. Yerach Lener was Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He was the Rebbe of Shem Shmuel Hirsch. We've quoted him many times. Yerach Lener wrote, besides his phenomenal Peirush on Masechta Sukkah, he also wrote a running Peirush on Shulchan Aruch of Sukkah as well. It's printed in the back of the Yerach Lener. His name is Yaakov Ettlinger, so he named it Bikur Yaakov. There are still Ettlingers who live in Washington Heights today. They're descendants, Menachem Benz of Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. One of my kids' preschool teacher was on the young lady's list, there was Ettlinger. She was a daughter of an Ettlinger who was a great-great-great-grandson of Yaakov Ettlinger. So, he wrote three Svarim, wrote the Erech Lener, he wrote the Bikur Yaakov, he wrote the Shalshus Bin Yitzia, it's all the same person. So in his Bikur Yaakov, he has a whole other way of reading this Tosfos against the Magen Avraham, he was before the Mishabur, he was a little bit before the Chavetz Chaim. So Yaakov Ettlinger writes in the Sefer Bikur Yaakov, who thinks the Tosfos means to say is that we paskin, catch this one, that lovud doesn't apply on Mechitza Sukkah. Finished. End of discussion. What do you mean lovud doesn't apply? No games of 3 and 4. No difference in 3 and 4. That's an arbitrary chiluk, says Yaakov Ettlinger. That we paskin that lovud taka cannot be used to create the walls of a Sukkah. Why not? He says, I am the end of the first brech of the second Erevin. So the end of the first brech of Erevin, even though the Mishnah does quote the sugya is about Makifim Bechavolim and Makifim Bekonim, all the sugyas of Lavud, but the Gemara quotes the Machlekes at Tanoim, whether those Mechitzas are ayayay, those Mechitzas, Gevaldike Mechitzas, and they're what we call Lelacha Mechitzas Gruos. They're not such great Mechitzas. So what does that mean, they're not such great Mechitzas? They work, they do not work. And the answer is, Minat Torah, of course they work. Minat Torah is Allah Mechitzas of Lavud. But Midirabodim, they're not so great. Thus, they don't look so good to us. So a guy walks in and he sees their holes in the condom, the Chabal, nothing doesn't look right. So Midirabodim, they added a bunch of chumras at us. They said, one time it says, only use it with your mamish shock in the Shayara in the middle of Arabia on Friday afternoon, you can't build an air, so never going to let you use it. Others said, we're only going to let you use it if it's not such a big area. It's a very big area, yeah, we're not going to let you use it. Kahena v'kahena. So different tanoim chiseled away at these mechitzas and say, it's not so good, it's not so good, it's not so good. And other tanoim say, what do you mean it's not so good? It's good. They're good minatay, they're good minatay, they're good minatay, they're good minatay. So there was already a very real documented machlekes atanoim about what atake is and all of these funny mechitzas. All these mechitzas shasi, the eros, eros, loch, shasi, all the half-baked mechitzas. Do we take the approach that they're just the greatest things under the sun? The good min haTorah, the good min haRabbanan? Or do we say, no, min haTorah they're good, but min haRabbanan they're not as good as we'd like them to be, and therefore we're going to put certain limitations on them? Says the Aruch Lanei, says Bifur Yaakov, if you hold like those Tanoim, that these are the greatest mechitzas in the world, and we have no limitations and no hesitation, and no qualms, and no chashav is using them l'chol davar, so then why can't we use them for a sukkah? But if you hold that we're not so comfortable with the Rabbanan using them, and therefore an Erev when we throw a couple of curveball chumras at you, so mistama, we should throw those same curveball chumras at you in Hukasuk also. Why? How does Chazal let you build sukkahs based on this? The only time we're going to let you rely on these funny, strange mechitzas is if you're in the middle of Arabia and you're stuck with your camels and it's Erev Shabbos. But if you're sitting in Bergenfield and you can build a normal sukkah, so Mehecha takes, so we're going to let you use these mechitzas geruah. He says to Bekuri Yachav, if you look at the sugya in Masech HaZevet, we pass in halacha that these are in fact mechitzas geruah. We pass that there are limitations. Not total limitations, but certain limitations. These mechitzas are not the greatest mechitzas at all on a level of Derabbanan. Therefore, argues the Bekuri Yaakov, we, Moshita Sein and Hukas Erevin, should not sanction these mechitzas in Hukas Sukkah altogether. Either the Bryce and of Zion that says Mechitza Sukkah ki Mechitza Shabbos. So good morning. That was the other Tana. That was the Bekuri Yaakov. That was a different Tana speaking. That was the Tana. That Brysa was following the view that these are good mechitzas, that there's no such thing called mechitzas gurus, these mechitzas are good mechatchila. But we, who in Mishnebura Chelek Dalet, in Hukas Erevin, are not so comfortable with these mechitzas, we're not so comfortable with these mechitzas in Hukas Sukkah also. And therefore, the halacha lemaisa says the Bekuri Yaakov, the Zayin and Aleph falls by the wayside. This whole Brysa is shalaki halacha. And what's the only thing that's Yotzim and Advarim? It's not the Zayin. That when Tais that idea from the Amoraim who did not sanction building mechitzas based on Konim is dafka because those Amoraim were following the accepted practice, the halacha, that we have already been nimnu v'gomu at the end of the first Brana there, when the later Amoraim was kapastim, that these are mechitzas gurus and they should not be used. So that's quite a chumrah. According to the Aruch Lanei, it comes out that even if you would put your strings around all four walls, it wouldn't work. Not min haTorah. Is that min haTorah? It's okay. Min haTorah, you're all right. But you gain nothing by putting it around all four walls because it's vayta posel. Now again, if a person wants to take that view, we're going to follow the Aruch Lanei, so then they wouldn't want to put strings on, and then the strings will amal of lamayri, unless they're willing to take the approach and say, listen, min haTorah, we don't want to risk the sukkah being a problem, so we don't want to just build a mechitza just with curtains, just with, you know, with canvas and let it flap in the wind and rely on the chaznish, because their eyes were nervous. Lagabi the chumrah derabbanon of not relying on mechitza gruos, lagabi that we'll rely on the chaznish. So that means we're gonna put the leveled strings in, even though lamaisa don't really do anything, but they do something. They knock down the problem from a deraisa ticket problem to a derabbanon ticket issue, and lagabi derabbanons we're gonna rely on the chaznish. So if you go down the route of the Aruch Lanei, you'll have one of two approaches. Either you decide, I'm not going to rely on these altogether, I'm going to buy myself a wood sukkah, a tribal, and cut the canvas altogether. Or if you still want to salvage a canvas sukkah, so you put the strings on. How many walls should you bother putting the strings on? Do you gain anything by putting on a fourth wall? According to the Aruch Lanei, you gain nothing. Because according to the Aruch Lanei, that distinction of the Aruch Lanei is purely arbitrary. 3 versus 4 is irrelevant. According to the Aruch Lanei, either it works or it doesn't work. So min haTorah does work, but derabbanan doesn't work. You gain nothing by adding the fourth wall. So again, according to the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, and the conventional wisdom in the Tosfos, there's what to be gained by making the strings around all four walls. And if you don't, so then you rely on derais and derabbanan. According to the Aruch Lanei, the strings don't do anything. Lamaisa, all they do is they chisel down the shayla to a derabbanan to a shayla, and then we could rely on the mekilah. According to the Aruch Lanei, if you'd mamish build the sukkah just based on strings, we would have to say that sukkah is no good. Not min haTorah, and say it's no good at all. Derabbanan, that sukkah would not be acceptable. That's exactly what Taisa says in the Tosai. Which one?
That's right.
According to that, the Aruch Lanei, Taisa and Tosai is even with that. With that one, right? Correct. Is there any other way of reading the Tosfos? So far, we have We have Mugen Avramish, the Brewers have chiseled away at the din of Lavud. We have Achonesh chiseled away with it, Legamre. But now we have, strangely enough, the biggest machmer in the sugi of Lavud is none other than the Chazanish. The Chazanish turns around and says that we totally missed the boat in the entire sugi of Lavud. Says the Chazanish, what Taisus meant in Dafte Zion was not the Yeitzim in a klal of three walls or four walls like the Bnei Avraham. It was not the Chumud Durabonin of the Bikur Yaakov. What Taisus was telling you is what the Iker Din Derais is, that you can't build walls of a sukkah based on Lavud. Finished. There's no such thing. You can't build walls of a sukkah b'chlal based on Lavud. There's no such animal called Lavud in building the walls of a sukkah. The Gemara says the Feirish and the Zion that you can. So says the Chaznish, no, you have to read the Gemara carefully. But the Gemara means it as follows. Avada and Avada, you have to build real walls of a sukkah. The real walls of a sukkah have to be built in what surah, in what fashion do the real walls of a sukkah have to be? Well, we were all there. We heard Moshe Rabbeinu come down from Sinai. Shtayim kehilchasam u'shtafil tefach. The basic surah of a sukkah has to look that way. Shtayim kehilchasam u'shtafil tefach. That's chayk v'lo ya'avar. That's what the sukkah has to look like. Now, a person may choose, after constructing such a sukkah, that he may want to extend the sukkah. That's not very comfortable. It's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim with a tefach. I have to throw a tefach shaychik, whatever. That's nothing for us. That's a very, very uncomfortable sukkah. You can barely get in there. So likely, what's the person going to do? He's going to want to extend the sukkah a little bit. He's going to want to build it out a little bit. He may want to build it out this way a little bit. He's got big plans. So comes the Chazanish and says, that's okay. You want to extend the sukkah and build it out, and you're cheap on wood, you want to skip on wood, that's okay. Then the sukkah's in air, can come back to life. Then you can start to extend the sukkah. That's not a problem. That we have no qualms with. That you're allowed to do, and you can even do it based on lavud. And that's a din d'oraisa. Now we're going to let you sit in areas over here, which are only based on lavuds. That's fine. That's okay. I have no problems with that, says the Chazanish. Because once the ikatsur of the sukkah was in place, and that's what the Brayshon of Zion is talking about. The Brayshon of Zion says, dofen sukkah kedofen Shabbos, that means when you want to extend the dofen of the sukkah, that's fine. That's okay, says the Chazanish. But you want to build the dofen of the sukkah? Forget it. You can't use lava to build the ikatsur of a sukkah. Because al zeh nemar, shtayim kehuchasan, ushrish tafil tefach. That's not negotiable, says the Chazanish. And that's what Taisus means, Dafte Zayin. It comes out that Chazanish is the biggest super duper machmir in Lavud to such an extent that everybody before the Chazanish tried to read into the Taisus and say, it's a chubah d'rabbanan, d'rabbanan, d'rabbanan. Either this d'rabbanan, that d'rabbanan, yam d'rabbanan. But the starting point, according to everybody, was when that Torah Lavud works because Dofen Sukkah is Dofen Shabbos. And the Chazanish turned the tables on everybody. So now it comes out a strange thing. Fellow's trying to build a sukkah and he wants to build lavud straps, and his whole mindset was, as long as I got my lavud straps in there, ben Torah, I'm home free. And now comes the Chazanish and turns around and says, no, you're not home free, you have a problem d'oraisa. So what does the person respond back to those machmirim? What? Yeah, but I got my canvas. My canvas, the Chazanish says, okay anyway. So you're almost like Ramon Avshach. If you're in Bnei Brak, you're trying to build your sukkah according to Bnei Brak standards. So you can't throw me this chumra and say, oh, there's a Chazanish tucked away in Uchas Sukkah that says that Midaraisa level doesn't work. To which I respond, you're right, that the same person, the same Hedegah Chazanish, was the one who said the canvas is okay because he held like the Rizvah. That's called the Bechita Echolam of Ruzuya. So you want to tell me, this is a real chumra, you want to tell me you have to be Chazanish for the Chazanish Shita in Lovud, and you can't rely on the Chazanish about canvas? I don't know, that's like a tricky, derech psak kind of a thing. So, but I could hear it. I know, if somebody would say that, I wouldn't say it's crazy. I'd say it's a little chumrah, but I wouldn't say it's crazy. Beinenu, when all the dust settles, is it the best thing under the sun to build a canvas sukkah with straps? I wouldn't say it's the best thing. I wouldn't say it's possible. I'd say it's kosher. The Ikra Din, you build a canvas sukkah with strap, especially if you have it all four walls. I'm okay with that. The Ikra Din, I think such a sukkah is kosher. Yemesis could be Mikra Dinim without the Kibbutz straps, it's kosher, but without the Lovud straps, it's kosher. But if you build a four-wall sukkah with your Lovud, the Mishnah Berurah says it's kosher. Mishnah Berurah, Pema, the Magen Avraham says it's kosher. So even according to the Machmirim, Shem Machmirim, that the canvas is no good, the Mishnah Berurah himself says it's a fair. He doesn't even quote Yeshayim, he doesn't quote Yechayim, like nothing. So according to Mishnah Berurah, the sukkah is kosher. The Magen Avraham, the sukkah is kosher. I'm not going to say more than that. But those who want to be choshesh for the Chazon Ish and don't want to rely on the Chazon Ish's kula of canvas, so there would be a makom to say that the canvas is not the greatest, even with all the loved straps, hakol mikako, still it's not the best thing under the sun. So we don't have a canvas sukkah, but in the shul, when the shul had to buy a sukkah a few years ago, so I tried to tell them they should buy not a canvas sukkah. It wasn't practical because there was no place to store it, and it wasn't shach. They had to buy a canvas sukkah. They said, we'll buy a canvas sukkah. And rely on the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham. I didn't even know this Chazon Ish at the time. I said, oh, we'll rely on the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, make it four straps and try. So this year, when I was learning a sukkah, so the Chazon Ish, I got a little bit more nervous. So usually enough, we don't usually use this. I mean, use it for the shul thing, but usually in our family, we usually eat in our regular sukkah anyway. But this year, we used it because we had a lot of company. That should be in Teres. Anyway, so we used the we ate in the, I can't say made a bracha because it's mostly done with a bracha shmini atzeres. We relied on the canvas sukkah lechatchila for shmini atzeres. But the ikra didn't kosher anyway. Even the rest, I have made a bracha on the canvas sukkah with the shah. I have eaten in the shul sukkah also on shal shudas as an occasion in the shul. So the ikra didn't, it's okay. But there would be a little bit of a makom to be machmer. Those who want to invest in a wood sukkah or a fiberwood sukkah, it's probably not to be good enough.
How much is moving? That's the question. Depends.
If the 10 tefachim, up to the 10 tefachim part, if it's stationary, that's okay. The fact that the middle is flying, that doesn't bother me. But if within
it's
the 10...
tied up on the top and on the bottom.
But the question is, how far does that prevent it from swinging? So, according to the Machmirim, that would be a problem. That's a shayla. Is there any shiur l'dover? They call from a Moshe. Three tefachim, they call different shiurim. It's hard to know exactly. Everything moves a little bit. The whole world's moving. Balance is everything's moving. The stump is a few rows, according to most folks, I think it's a few rows, and they had the yonim. You look at it, you see. It looks like it's moving, it's not moving. Okay, good. All right, that was the Shiran for your film service. Okay.